Good morning. It is October the 12th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is, You Are Not Forgotten. My first reading of scripture comes from the prophet Jeremiah, verse 1, and then skipping down to verse 4 through 13. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests. The prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And my second reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. You are not forgotten. You know, when I was a kid, I was dropped off at a friend's house, and I spent Saturday with them. And my friend at the time had a very large home with a long driveway that was lined up by trees. In the front of their yard, they had tennis courts. And in the back of their house, there was a creek. And they had a fully furnished basement. And what I remember was that my mom was going to pick me up at a certain time when it was time to go home. Well, that time came, and I walked that long driveway to the edge of the road, and I waited. And I waited, and I waited. Now remember, I was in elementary school, probably third or fourth grade. Talk about anxiety. You know, one of the most pressing emotions for people, whether young or old, rich or poor, highly educated or not, is the feeling of being forgotten and being left behind. You know, there was a movie that came out in 1985, and it became a hit movie among Generation X. And the key theme and song for that movie was Don't Forget About Me by Simple Minds. The name of the movie, if you're from Generation X and maybe others, is called The Breakfast Club. And it was produced by John Hughes. And that song resonated for not only Generation X and others, because it told their feelings of being forgotten by loved ones, of being forgotten by the previous generation, baby boomers, and others. But let's go back to verse 11. Verse 11 from Jeremiah is a wonderful verse that people remember and they hold dear to their hearts. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You know, let's go back even further than 1985. 86 years ago, an actress, a young actress by the name of Judy Garland, premiered in a movie that was released on August the 15th, 1939. It was a movie that at that time amazed audiences because it had Technicolor. It wasn't in black and white. And the moral of the movie is simple. You don't realize the beauty and value of what you have until you lose it. The main character played by Judy Garland was Dorothy. And Dorothy had her little dog with her named Toto. And they were transported from a boring, mundane life on a Kansas farm to a magnificent, dazzling, rainbow-like fantasy land. Outward beauty does not tell what lies beneath the surface. Beauty will not be found in a faraway land or a magical kingdom, but can be found where your heart takes root and grows freely. You see, that's the theme of The Wizard of Oz. And the line that I remember as a child watching that movie and again was when Dorothy and those beautiful red shoes tapped them together and kept saying, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home." You know, the prophet Jeremiah was directed and instructed by God to write a letter to those Jews that were carried away as slaves into exile in Babylon. And in their exile, and in their sadness, and in their pining away for the good old days, God told Jeremiah, write a letter to them. And in this letter, tell them to prosper, to marry, to have children, to have your children have, to establish roots, and to grow strong in their faith. And for 70 years, the Jews that were held captive in Babylon. Folks, 70 years is a long time. It's a lifetime. And it's very easy to give up and to think you have been forgotten. That God does not remember your prayers. That the old days are just that, in the past. You have very little to look forward to. I bet you that there were and maybe are times now when we too in this country, in our lives, in the present, feel like foreigners in a strange land. Those Jewish exiles were told to adapt and to thrive in a culture that was not their own. They had to embrace a new life. They had to learn to live with new neighbors. Not only that, but they had to learn a new language and the customs that go with it. Most of all, and maybe the hardest thing to do, was to, quote, sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. You know, human nature being what it is means it's hard not to mourn or pine away for what was, as I mentioned this a moment ago, in the good old days. We all do this as human beings. We long for the times that we can recall as a young person, as a child, or maybe a young adult. Maybe we long for the times from the stories we heard from our parents or our grandparents. Now, when it comes to these Jewish exiles in Babylon, they were not to rise up in open rebellion, nor were they to take vengeance on their captors, nor were they to flee into the countryside, into the mountains and hills and valleys, and hide away in their enclaves, refusing to engage in that culture and that society. You see, while the Assyrians were a violent, brutal, bloodthirsty conquerors and vicious overlords to their captives, the Babylonians, by contrast, were much kinder to their Jewish captives. See, let me put it this way. The Babylonians took the best and the brightest of the Jews to Babylon in order to enrich their civilization, encouraging and allowing them to flourish and to thrive, to build synagogues and schools for learning. And in time, Judaism was not only tolerated by the Babylonians, but to some degree, it was even reluctantly admired from a distance. You see, in essence, Jeremiah, by God's wisdom, was saying, if Babylon was flourishing, then you too will flourish. So pray for the people and the leaders of Babylon. That's something we can take to heart in our own lives today. As we pray for our country, as we pray for our political leaders, and as we pray for our community and business leaders as well. God calls on his people, men and women, young and old alike, to keep on praying and never ever give up. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, I have learned in my life that even though I have not lived in my home state of Oklahoma for decades, Oklahoma always has my heart, and it will always be home to me. Even though I have tried and I have adjusted to living here in Western New York, despite the fact that I really don't care for the weather, it's too gray and dreary. I do not like 6 months of winter. Despite the fact that I think the taxes are punitive and ridiculously high in New York State. And despite the fact that I really do not care for the politics of this state either. You know, the church can also become entangled in a purity mindset. And what I mean by that is we have members in our church and in the larger church who pine and long away for the good old days. They remember when churches were filled to the rafters literally, that there were extra services, that the Sunday school department and the Sunday school rooms were overflowing with children, that there was more than enough volunteers and resources and money being given to the church. And we look at that time and that era, and we scratch our heads and say, where have all the good people gone? Where did the days go? We long for something that was, and it is now, and it appears to be lost. We mourn and we lament what our culture and society has taken from us, because the country and the church isn't what it used to be. Some people cheer that on. Other people have grave misgivings. I'm going to use a sports metaphor that many Christians and churches feel like. And let me put it this way so that we can understand. This alienation, this feeling of being on the outside. You see, many Christians and many churches feel like they've lost home court advantage or they've lost home field advantage. That their community isn't what it used to be. That their schools are no longer the same. That where they work is not how it used to be. And that our country has changed, and indeed it has. Folks, I'm just as guilty as anyone else in thinking this way sometimes in my life. If we are not careful and discerning, we can become so caught up waiting for a future that we miss the beauty and the opportunity of today. Don't become so misguided in lamenting the past that you miss God's mission today, calling us to be faithful followers and to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Logically, rationally, intellectually, we know the church is not a building or a location, but it is a living, breathing people. It is a family filled with men and women, boys and girls, young and old, married and single and divorced and remarried. Emotionally, however, we think the church is a location. It is a building. And it is a building that has given us wonderful memories. It is a building where we encountered milestones such as our baptism or our confirmation or our membership. Or our marriage, or for some, a funeral or a memorial service. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling and saying to his church to put down roots where you are and where I am, in order that the communities and the country that we live in can prosper. The church prospers not by its strength or wisdom, but by the very providence and wisdom of God. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says the following, "Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." That little tagline was in the Pentecostal magazine that I used to read many years ago. You see, God has not forgotten us. The question is this, have we forgotten God? And sadly, the answer to that question is yes. As Christians, we are called to love friend and foe alike. Do we do that? Do we have faith in God's power to prosper Christ's holy church in God's timing? Do we pray for others ahead of us? Or is it the other way around? We pray for ourselves first, then maybe, just maybe, we might remember a family member, a neighbor, or that person who has a dire need. Do we trust the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit more than we trust our own thoughts, our plans, and opinions more than Scripture? God has not forgotten us. And because God has not forgotten us, pray that Jesus may be glorified in our lives, and that he may be glorified in the church that you gather in and worship in. Pray that God will give you courage to get beyond yourself so that others will know the power, the beauty, the majesty, the holiness, the grace of Christ. And pray that we might grow and thrive in any circumstance, like other Christians down through the ages who have survived in oppressive countries. Pray that we do not become a fossilized institution of the past, but instead a living, growing body. You know, I started this message with the fact that I went to a friend's house in elementary school on a Saturday, and I waited and I waited for my mom to pick me up, and I had thought my mother forgot me. You know, my mom did pick me up. She was a little late, but she didn't forget me. God has not forgotten us. God has not forgotten you. God has chosen us for such a time as this. Amen.